everything looks good back here. Okay. Let's get to it. Okay.
So do you and let's see, myself and Micah who's not here and occasionally Melissa will all be doing checking of the transcriptions. So it's the second pass transcriptions we're receiving and that's pretty straightforward. I think you'll basically have an idea what's involved. But the extra step that we're asking you to do in this case is to look at the silent regions and listen to them for each channel and make sure that no back channels were lost, for example. Back channels is what you typically would find, although by and large these are going to be silent. So so you can start checking by, well, you know, you can order it in any way you like, but start with the first channel and you go through it entirely. I would recommend, I've found that it's easier when you're checking and you're trying to make sure the boundaries are right for a speech segment. I would recommend, like say this one, go down here to the transcription tier and select that so that when you play, you're certain that when it stops, you've caught the whole speech signal for that utterance and haven't lost any signal information. Otherwise, it's liable to keep on running and you might not notice where it finishes. So it takes a little time, but alternatively, you could just listen to the speech segments again and make sure everything's correct for those. And so you could just hit...
Well, hi everyone again.
And then...
like before, we...
like that. And then go back and check the silent regions. If you want to make your job a little more interesting, do it in different ways on a different day, as long as it gets done. So
we're checking what's actually been transcribed already, as well as the silence.
Yeah, you're doing so. That's the role of the checker, is to check what's said in the silent region, in the speech regions, and then make sure nothing's lost in the silent regions. You're also responsible for resolving any uncertainties that were marked by the original transcriber.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, of course, there are going to be many situations where you, like the first transcriber, can't make any sense of it. And in that case, it will be up to you to use the at symbol. And that can be used to represent one unintelligible word or multiple intelligible words, but just use one at symbol. Exactly. And so, that once you go through all the speech regions and all the non-speech regions, and that you could make another step of doing a search using going under the edit menu, you can do a search for find a place for open parentheses, and that'll take you to. That the first transcriber might have marked out, so there's one, and then you can just resolve those all one by one as a different set of changes together, and likewise for the double question marks. Just once you've gone through and resolved all the open parentheses, you can do the same for double question marks, and like I said, if you can't make any sense of it, then just use the at symbol. If you can, just give it your best guess in these cases.
How much would be one? I had a few times where I thought, well, it could be this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not entirely sure that it could be, because it could be a combination of something else, then put the guess down or leave it as ambiguous in some way.
Yeah, it's... I would... If you're quite certain, then I would go ahead and type what you think of the set. If you think that
there's a chance,
maybe a 30% chance you're wrong, or
more.
It's usually a context problem, because
yeah.
I think
Yeah.
that sometimes if it's not intelligible, you either tend to, because you really want it to fit the context, you tend to take the closest actual word that would fit the context, or if it, sometimes it sounds very clear as a word itself, but then wouldn't make sense at all, and then question, you know, second guess whether it's really what you heard.
Right. So maybe a good idea would be to listen to each channel one by one. Do you listen to the silent and non-silent regions and make all those corrections. Leave the unknowns, the ambiguities, the uncertainties until later. So go through all the channels and do that. And then you should have a context from all four speakers. And then go back and do those searches one by one for each channel. How would that be? I think that would be really helpful. That would help us nab a good number of those uncertainties.
So if there's a chance that it's equally likely that they could have said something, or they could have said something like ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Then just choose one and leave it.
Choose one. I mean, you think of it from a speech recognition point of view, again, and always this should be, this should
robust.
Motivate you. Yeah. What is most robust for speech recognition? And leave out.
We just started our speech recognition assignment just
now. So you're well geared towards this task.
I don't want to interrupt. When I did my master's, I took SP1 and SP2 with Simon King.
You survived SP1 and SP2.
Yeah. actually, I did quite well in SP1. I've done a bit worse in SP2 because it was a lot more challenging.
We have 2D teachers for SP2.
Okay.
And. I'll ask you later on, like, it's not
Okay. Back to the topic.
Okay. So, this is one I've gone through. I've just done one channel. And there were lots and lots of things, as you can see, because I've got the square brackets around all the things that need to be changed. So, this person didn't know about capitalization. So, just about every utterance needs to be capitalized and punctuation.
You know when you get like someone's talking and there's a sort of pause in the middle of a sentence which is long enough for it to put a break in, but they're actually sort of carrying on the sentence. Do you have to capitalize each time you transcribe a bit?
No. Whatever makes sense to you.
Okay.
but no, it can continue to the next segment. And
so
that's
typically
hyphen.
That's actually the only case if you don't. When you're not supposed to capitalize, right?
Right.
So if it's quite clear that the sentence is being carried on, the sentence for the previous segment is being carried on, then that's when you don't capitalize.
But you use a hyphen, I think, when the sentence is definitely not continuing anywhere.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'll review some of these things after I go through this a bit, just to recap. These are things that after checking everybody's work, these are things that were commonly left out mistranscribed, whatever. So I'll go over those as an opportunity to use the whiteboard. okay, so this person left out a lot of end punctuation, and here's a case where I think she was transcribing an out-breath. Or possibly an in-breath, and use the hash mark. In any case, I didn't hear anything, and you shouldn't be transcribing in-breaths or out-breaths.
Right.
That's information we don't need.
Like before, I have to reuse the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
Oh, you know, this is the headset. Mike, I heard something there. It was a
creepy voice.
Yeah, it was creepy. So
it was really connected to the words.
Yeah. And you seem to not really know whether it's Mike noise or that person's name.
Yeah, well, I think there isn't.
And so here we go.
Oh.
Hello.
night before we I have to reuse the meetings from the mi-
Yeah,
the,
this
the
was actually quite a bit more in there than
from
the before.
The
This is, so I heard a creaky voice and it was audible with the level of the rest of the speech, so I would keep that. I think that's good. Oh, okay. I was adding that. That's what I was Okay. There you go. So there's things like that. There's a missing false start here that didn't get caught.
Meetings from the minutes from the last meeting.
So I added that in. So that's something that's quite common. And the transcriptions I've looked at missed false starts, missed.
And how exact you have to be there, because you know some people tend to stutter more than others, and then they would have a false start 4 or 5 times in a row. And how important is it to listen to it really until you've got the exact number of the things right?
Try to get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think syllables should be accounted for.
Because
right.
Sometimes they go, you know,
yeah,
and then you're not
yeah.
Sure
well, don't let it drive you crazy, because there is one speaker Melissa just played for me today, and he stutters horribly. It's unfortunate. It's really going to be a nightmare to transcribe, so you will have to draw a line somewhere. But if it's say 4 repeated, the words repeated 4 times, yeah, then that's not too hard to count. I haven't come across something that's been, I haven't come across anything exceeding 4.
Yeah.
Have you?
Well, it's not that the word is, if the word were. The whole word were being used
mm-hmm.
4 times,
mm-hmm.
that would have been that difficult. But sometimes it's just a false start, which is really just maybe 1 or 1.5 phones,
uh-huh.
and then repeat it, and then you don't really know whether one is a long duration of one or whether it's actually two.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think it was a word that started with D, and the person was going, did it, did it.
Yeah. Make your best guess.
Yeah.
Try to listen to it carefully enough, but not so that you're obsessing over it. I would say.
And sometimes with the dis, you're thinking, are you anticipating the d, or are you trying to say the, and you're just saying the,
right.
the.
Well, there again, think about robustness in the speech recognition.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't matter. It's a word fragment. Who cares?
Well,
you're marking it as a fragment, and that's
yeah.
what's important.
Speaking about robustness, that if somebody has an accent that you can only really understand what they're saying due to world knowledge, that what they say doesn't really actually sound at all, you know, what it is, then do you transcribe more phonetically or do you put a star after every single one word?
I wouldn't be using the star so liberally.
Yeah, that's what I thought you're not supposed to do it, but. There's one I'm transcribing right now, you know, a whole batch of dialogues where all 4 participants are non-native, and there's especially one there that I think he's Eastern European, and I think that's the only reason I can understand what he's saying at all, because I'm Eastern European, and but if we would just play it, I think, to recognize it, then what he says, you know, the way he realizes words sounds
mm-hmm.
nothing at all like it should be.
Well, right. And for that matter, a lot of native English
yeah.
speakers' realizations are quite
yeah.
tricky. So true. So.
I try to take consistency. If they always stress the wrong part of the word, then I think, okay, I'll let that in.
Yeah.
If it comes out in like one word, is
no, it's less of a stress. It's really like I don't know, just the phoneme sounding differently.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't. Bother to like all of those instances.
Well, you can't really.
No. Yeah, there's. You're gonna find that for any speaker, you have to step away realizing these things, and it's just like Fiona was saying, that the word that stands out is something really aberrant. Like I'm thinking of, I've used this example before. There's a guy who says. Project instead of product, and it's something like project.
Yeah.
And it's probably just his pronunciation.
Oh, I think
of
I've
the
project.
Yeah, They're clearly talking about a product, so I mark that as a mispronunciation or something to flag anyway.
And when I was saying evolution each time.
Oh, evaluation. I remember that. That one I would flag just like you did. That's something definitely to mark.
Yeah, but that's really something I would always describe it, you know, for lack of better knowledge or lack of context. And then at the end of the dialogue, it dawned on me that he actually meant evaluation.
Yeah.
And then I went back and replaced it in the whole transcription.
That's good.
Well, we have a lecture that I can never quite tell if he's saying problem or program.
Program.
And I can't actually say it when I'm listening to him. I can't tell.
Alright. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about certain speakers.
Yeah, basically,
it's just,
I think, just do your best and hope for the best.
I'm just not involved with this.
Okay, so.
That'll give some transcriber headache.
Yeah.
Well, we have both FS and lapel transcribing, so
I won't be transcribing that. Right there.
Yeah, let's have more transcribing.
Okay, so there have been lots of missed filled pauses. Everybody seems to miss those, some more than others. So just really keep an ear out for those.
It's easy to, because you're so used to tuning them out. Mm-hmm. When I go back over, I normally like go back to the beginning, do a quick pass of the main sections again, and think, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I missed them plenty myself. But this second pass, we should really try to catch.
Sorry, I'm just saying this with the TV. There's
yeah.
T_V_. I thought we were just supposed to use the underscore between.
No,
metrics.
No. That's what I thought the first.
Okay,
day,
sorry,
right.
Then I've done it wrong so far.
Okay. Yeah, it should be after every acronym.
You know, you standardized on the field pausing, but do we need to go through and change ones that people differently, like if like wherever an ER change it all to UH.
Yeah. So at this point, the only file that's been checked is Melissa, the one that Melissa did, and that was
mm-hmm.
checked by me. So we're starting fresh with these, and you know, changes like that that were just announced, we'll be able to catch these first passes.
Okay.
So yeah, if you do see something like UHM for Elvin.
Yeah.
We can change that to the regularized version.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, this is arbitrary, but we had to choose something and not let it get too convoluted. choice. Here's
so if they pause just where you've got it highlighted at the moment, that was the hyphen.
There.
So I have to redo the meetings from the minutes from the last meeting. Was that a like real definite, I am starting a new sentence here? Because I sometimes, if it sounds like you carry on saying the whole sentence, I sometimes don't have a hyphen there.
So it's not necessarily restarting a sentence.
If you think of it in terms of a syntactic tree, it doesn't have to go back all the way to the S note, but it just it might go back to the last
just one to the next note. That was like somebody that didn't know about linguistics are trying to transcribe S notes.
It's just my way of knowing. Sorry, because linguistics is all I've ever known.
Here's a so that answers your question.
So
that answers
yes,
your question.
Yes.
It's not okay. Okay. Here's where I heard another d sound, another false start or stutter. I would say.
On this remote,
mm-hmm.
and used to send messages, of course, to the TV. Should have 9 channel buttons, next button, volume buttons, subtitle buttons, switch to control features, color, contrast, sharpness, etc.
Okay.
never mentioned what he's doing. Threatening her with favorite personal features she would like see to be integrated in this.
And there was a vowel in there, but you notice that she just used the don't, that's fine.
What's the C? Is that a.
She would like C.
She
doesn't be integrated in this. In this new remote.
Where are you putting that, etc.? Is that how we're supposed to be writing it?
Yes. Yes, she's so she spelled it wrong. Up here.
Oh, etc.
Yeah, so I mentioned that because it's spelling. And yes, any.
Is it one word or is it two words?
It's one word.
Okay.
So I just.
It's not
much.
At all.
Sorry.
But isn't it in Latin like et cetera? Like et al. Or?
Like 80s.
No, no, like, at, you know, when you have a citation and you say et al.
Mm-hmm.
Means and others, et al. Is before. And et cetera means and following. So.
In the dictionary,
yeah,
it's one word.
Oh,
it is?
If you have any questions about spellings, I think I'm going to send an email to this effect. Just check the Oxford English Dictionary.
Okay.
That will be our guide. So, as far as I know, this is just missing an E, set turbo.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you can. We've considered experimenting with running this through a spell check. You can take this as an EMAX file and run a spell check.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would slow things down too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just hopefully in going through this very carefully, you're going to notice these misspellings.
Yeah, I think if somebody could write, I don't know how difficult it would be in practice to write a script that would ignore all the word fragments, anything with hyphen, then the spell check might make sense. But to just use simple Emacs, it will basically mark all the word fragments for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know from experience, at some point you also get negligent. You just click okay. You know, that's not
yeah,
a mistake,
yeah.
And then you might miss a new error. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we will just hope that you catch it. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, so.
To be integrated in, she would like see do.
So I think she didn't catch.
She was cutting more off rather than saying she would like to see
right
something.
Right. Yeah, she. I think she meant to use the infinitive, but she just left off.
But since C
is
a whole
word,
shouldn't there be space between C and
a space
anatomy?
She
would like see.
She would like C.
After the C and the hyphen should never use the
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That was
what you
were
okay. There we go. I'll see that. Okay. What else? Be careful about finding mistranscriptions. So
the
other shaped buttons. She presented also an oversized remote, which she guarantees nobody will ever be able to lose.
So she transcribed that as wood.
Uh-huh. But sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes you really don't know whether it's saying
Well, I think it's quite clear.
Yeah, it's
I mean, obviously.
But if it's not clear, do you just pick the more grammatical alternative or
no?
You try and keep it as
true.
But if it's really not, absolutely not clear,
then
when they say what instead, you know, some people when they just swallow up the last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just then transcribe?
I have
what?
To hear it because it sounds like it could be a fragment.
Yeah.
I just have to hear it. You don't want to be prescriptive and
tell
what you think they should have said.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know the type of scenario you're describing. It's just hard to answer that without hearing something.
I'm sure you capitalized.
Yeah, they should all. I stopped marking them.
Okay.
So we just tune in.
But should it? Could they lose this? From 1 second.
Oh,
or
yeah,
you
can, right.
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Give me a yes in there.
What's that? Okay.
But are you ready for personal?
So another mystical start.
Favorite, really, she would very much like to see.
There is creakiness on the sheet, but you don't need to mark that as a separate sound.
Sometimes I've made butts after words after laughter, I've made them capitalized because I've not been sure if there's some, if the laughter's been cutting everything off.
Mm. And it sounds like the laughter is just interrupting an utterance that continues after the laughter. I wouldn't have.
Okay, so what about if a whole utterance is uttered while laughing? Do you put the laughter in front?
When that happens, what I do is I put laughter in front and the whole thing is laughter in, at the end as well.
If you hear just laughter on either side, do that.
No, it's laughter throughout.
I don't know. We'll have to.
There's some people laughing themselves. Absolutely nothing.
Okay, so laughter during speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you later.
Because in the ICSI dialogues, they always say, while laughing, and we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they say other. So there, it's really not ambiguous whether
mm-hmm.
it's just laugh followed by a normally spoken utterance, or whether it's an utterance spoken while laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a distinction there.
No, we don't have any qualified times that they use, but I'll figure that one out and put it up on the wiki or email you. Good question. I'll come across that as well. Let's see.
Is speech recognizer integrated in this remote? The industrial designer.
I don't know what that noise was. We can skip on other types of things and figure out. Let's see.
And how it would work, so you press the button, the chip is Morse code related, relays the physical generator to the generator amplification. And the circuit board is very inexpensive to build, and so she thinks this is a great feature. To consider
circuit. I forget if she has a person that calls circuit.
Did she say circuit? I didn't really hear that.
I'm not sure.
So
did
you have been tempted to say an asterisk?
If it's her, I just caught the end
board.
Of it.
The circuit board.
No, not for that one. So I had one person who said circuit.
Oh, okay.
Then I wouldn't put an asterisk on it. I thought asterisk. Something where it's pronounced as a totally different word, like evaluation and evolution.
No, not necessarily. No, it's just something that the speech recognizers label don't trip up on.
Because this is a very frequent mistake that non-language speakers make, to say circuit.
That may be, but I probably need to flag it. Depending on how different the vowel sound was. It's going to be your call. In a lot of
something
cases.
Like if I took that one because it was the language teacher wouldn't allow that to move on to the next stage, that wouldn't they wouldn't let that pass. Sort of.
Okay.
Or even if somebody that I point out to them.
Here's a case of where I found it. Found a case of discontinuity.
She would like this whole thing should be push buttons,
but because she's a non-native English speaker, I don't know, maybe that was grammatically unmarked for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe that wasn't her restarting. Maybe she
Because otherwise you could put a hyphen after every
So again, I don't know. That was my reflex at the time to put that there, but
just a prosodic marker rather than an actual poem. Hesitation.
Yeah.
As in that whole back channel.
Simple chip.
Yeah.
that she would like this whole thing should be push buttons.
Oh, yes, sorry. I just read the rest of the sentence.
Push
buttons
it.
Words.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna skip ahead. Oh, let's see.
Should be battery operated, and of course you have the special case.
So I hear she would quite clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a good number of them you'll be able to resolve.
Okay.
Just helps to have the context and be able.
What
to
condition
to
would or should as well?
Well.
Okay.
Yes, it can be a lot of things.
The marketing expert, who has to finally come up with to market this product.
So there's another case where there isn't a space between
right.
A non-word fragment and a restart. Okay, what else? There's an extra little symbol in here. It's just kind of carelessness. So even if it's something as brief as we're going to go ahead and capitalize that. Mark asked me what to do in case of an utterance just consisting of laughter. Do we use punctuation in these cases?
I haven't done.
I don't know. I think it's just too silly.
It's not linguistic.
I'm just thinking
of, you know, a matter is consisting entirely of laughter and then putting like punctuation in it. Aha.
Someone's gonna have fun transcribing with
that.
So if you start the conversation in common room, right?
As laughter being the speaker, they could come on and say you.
I'm trying to interpret my note here. Deleting classes.
Okay, I guess there just really wasn't enough to transcribe.
What I really like.
Yeah, because it was really just silence and lasting.
Yeah, so like I said, click down here just to, if you haven't learned that trick already, and that won't play any surrounding segments. So there's nothing there with transcribing.
Just noticed the random yes, like I'm having a hyphen before because of. Scroll up a little bit.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that and second one from the top. I'm going to have to go back and find my places where I've had someone pausing and then saying, yeah, yeah, and then this, I've not had, I need to go back and find.
So you haven't put hyphen in hyphen? I see, yes.
Hyphens or commas?
Commas? Yeah. For
that
type of situation?
Absolutely, just so that
helps.
Actually, my wife, a couple of times where they've repeated a word, I've put a comma between them. Should that be no comma?
Commas are fine. And eventually they're going to be extracted globally, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
We can just wipe them out.
Okay. So I get quite proliferate with my commas at times.
I am too. I like commas. And then Steve will ask his project manager, he'll look at, I think it was my transcription. What is commas doing? He didn't, ultimately he said it was a problem.
Okay, cool.
And they will, they'll help in the case of discourse marking, but his point was that they're really subjective and saying that you then transcribe over here.
Just to make sense of the sentence.
Yeah. I really like using commas.
I read some of these PhD proposals yesterday and said, well, if you could have a comma in here and not there.
What is cutest
spelling? Oh, she spelled cutest with an I. So
oh, okay.
That's just what I pointed out. Okay, what else? So here's, let's see, now this was
that one step, the evaluation criteria. I mean,
So she typed hour, and I didn't even quite hear that. But
no, this was an evaluation criteria.
But you can see how it could have been.
Well, if you were Cockney, then.
No, this was an evaluation criteria.
Sometimes you get like, you're not sure if it's an
I,
an
I,
A,
yeah,
an
right. And you can never know, but if it fits well enough as a as an indefinite article, then
yeah,
as well.
So which did you just?
Oh, I was suggesting that it be instead of our.
No, this was an evaluation criteria, which
but
evaluate.
This.
No,
it's tricky.
How
I don't know. Oh, she's.
Well, there's a production email.
I think there's a well there.
Yeah.
But this being the headset, my channel may make it easier to hear. She transcribed from the lapel mic.
I've had one person with the dodgy headphone one.
Dodgy
something one.
Oh.
Most of the time it's as if they've got the hand over something.
Oh, God. And you transcribed that speaker entirely?
Yes.
If that comes
yeah,
up again,
we've got headset mic files now.
In fact, they replace all the lapel mic files on the MMM server with headset mic files, which we weren't asking them to do, but anyway, they did it. So now we don't have the lapel mic files. Apparently, the headset mic files are just a bit louder.
Right.
So you probably find yourself turning the volume down considerably, but
apparently,
other than that, they're just as good.
Right.
But let us know, because we can retrieve the.
Yeah, some people, it actually leads to some really screeching noises because they're so loud, or probably the mic is so close. And this one, in one of the first dialogues I did, this guy called Ed, you could always see the waveform actually, you know, being just hitting the boundaries on both ends and just being at some point just black segments. And when he was talking, there was this whole, like, you know, when he's too close to the microphone. And that was good.
There's a lot of people that say, is it something like hit it a few times?
Okay. I don't think I'm going to go through any more of these because I think I've gotten through most of the types. To point out.
How about names that somebody says the name of somebody in? Who? And you don't have to spell their name or
right.
If you know the right name.
Right. What are we going to do with that?
Sorry? Oh, I had one guy, one of the project managers, was he had a really weird accent and he was calling one guy Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed.
And to be. Find out that it was actually Mr. Ed.
Oh,
no, but then it wasn't one word, that it wasn't like some proper name starting with M.
Mr. Ed.
I did see, I've been looking at some guidelines for another corpus, and I did see something about proper names, so I'll have a look at that
right.
And see.
Well,
how we can
but that. Don't you guys have this data?
What?
Know the people's names, like when you.
Collect yeah, quite possibly.
It's
coming from EDF in Switzerland. Yeah, it should be easy enough to get, but it's one of their step, you know, emailing somebody to find out who knows
okay.
This information.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's.
No, but it's information that we theoretically have.
Yeah, because everyone signs a consent form when they participate in the experiment. So we have to be able to get
we
that.
We didn't sign one.
But we should also have a means of dealing with proper names when we don't know what it is and how it might be spelled at all, and flagging that in some way. So I'll try to address both things.
What was Mr. again? I can't remember seeing how to
Mr.
Oh,
just type Mr.
for
R
in
my MST. Yeah, and the same with Mrs. in my SS.
US.
Sorry. check the dictionary.
Mrs.
Yeah, you never type the abbreviated spelling.
What if somebody calls himself Ms.?
That's never happened. I'm sure there's a spelling in
yeah.
OED, yeah.
So, what about foreign words? What do we do when we're checking? if we come up with something.
Oh, right, so the transcriber is enclosing everything in carrots.
Yeah.
And what you would do is.
Oh, it was French, so you can't say it.
That's a good question because you will be leaving question marks there.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in carrots and then it's fine, does that matter?
It shouldn't because things are going to be left like the asterisk will be left in the
Product
for the subsequent processing. But carrots with question marks in between would have to be resolved in some way.
Or could we just change it to an app between the carrots?
Yeah.
It's an intelligible thing.
Yeah, I suppose that's all we can do, really.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be polyglot.
Oh, so even if we know what that word means, we're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you if it's a foreign word and you know what it is, just enclose it in carrots.
Yeah, because I have, there's one now where I think two speakers are French, like one is definitely French, and I know she's saying, and then somebody's saying to her, and she goes, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're confident, if you get a fair grasp on French, for example.
Why not? Accidentally translating the process.
Yeah. Okay. There's just one other thing. She typed okay in caps.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
O capital O capital K and a huge no. I don't know why she missed that in the guidelines.
Are we doing okay
yeah.
just as O
okay,
not as a okay A Y.
It is okay A Y.
A Y, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it will be your job. Catch all
of
these.
Some of those.
So no, no transcriber will be checking. No checker will be checking their own transcription.
Yes.
So
transcriber will be.
We will catch these things more efficiently, I think. And I'll, so I'll just go for the board. Do I have to keep this stuff on?
Oh, yeah, because every time somebody would be going over there, you'd hear all the sound.
You hear the chairs moving,
and about five or six breaks in between as they're making their way there. Okay, so I guess just for the sake of using the whiteboard, okay, one more time. I'll just write down the things that are most common to be checked. So,
the whiteboard marker and the camera as well.
That's some
But this is a list of things to do as the checker. So you want to listen to the silent regions, then check the speech regions, and as part of that, you want to check the boundaries. And, oh, by the way, this should be transcribe any missed speech. And let's see what else. Okay. And within this, checking the speech segments you want to listen for, or look for missed, punctuation, fill pauses, words in stuttering. And if you have a stuttered word, you don't need to use the hyphen to mark discontinuity. It's just
so if somebody says the, then it's just the.
Words in and false starts. Short words, make sure little words like the and little articles and that kind of thing don't get omitted. Short words and word fragments. those are the commonly missed things. And then look for cases of missed transcription. Seems so silly to me. Missed transcription, so make sure the speaker said will, you type will not would, or if they say we, even it might be more grammatically correct to type we're, that kind of thing. That case of ellipsis where maybe the transcriber typed them, but really what was said was so we're use the apostrophe. And look for capitalization. I'm not going to. I couldn't do any more of this. Capitalization, spelling, use the OED to check on things you don't know about. Refer to the wiki for all regularized spellings. And things like filled pauses.
I just remembered one.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, you want expressive K, but it's at the beginning of a sentence. Should the K be capitalized?
No. Well, apostrophe and then K.
And then, yeah, capitalize the K.
Good.
And
then Marty smells really bad.
I think it's really good.
You've been doing this too long.
I used to always have a smell.
Please wait.
What else did I find? So the make sure the dash, the hyphen, whatever you call it, is being used appropriately in cases of continuity. But not the stuttering, like I said. and don't use it when the utterance is clearly continued into the next segment of don't transcribe in breaths or out breaths. And okay should never be two capital letters. It should be okay anyway. And one other thing is to break up long segments if you find any.
Over a minute.
Yeah, but that's a kind of crude guideline. I'd say just anything that seems unmanageable.
So if something is a minute and 3 seconds, I can still have it.
Yeah, really, it means nothing to say a minute. It's just a really crude guideline. I would just try to keep segments very manageable. But you know, use these waveforms to help you. And you can adjust the resolution so that that didn't help me too much, but you can use this little slide bar to adjust the resolution.
If you just click on one of the arrows.
Which
the
arrows
by the resolution. It will this one.
Yeah.
Well, not that one. The other arrow next to it.
This one.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So
Or you can also, if you go to signal and it's something under signal where you can adjust the amplitude as well, or the resolution.
Okay,
you can also, I think that's it. If you go to control panel, signal control panel. No, signal control panel. The vertical zoom, you can adjust that as well. So if it seems too flat,
That's good.
All right. Nothing. I was hearing stuff, but there was nothing on my waveform. I could find where everything was.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Control panel.
Yeah. So to help you make cuts, just look. Use this waveform and make sure you're not losing any signal information. But cutting segments down is a low priority, but it will help ultimately, I think, post-processing wise.
I think I've got a bit fine cutting my band at the moment.
Yeah, and don't get excessive about it, because that just ends up taking too much time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from a speech recognition point of view, it shouldn't matter. Segments being whatever the thing would be. I've seen other people's transcription guidelines for the ICSI project at Berkeley and elsewhere to say, indicate it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The point is just to get them manageable things. Okay.
Because it's a checking it in there rather than to listen to a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's the best reason for cutting me out. But hopefully, that will be done during the first class, because that's all making your checker's job a little easier. And then, yeah, just be sure after you've gone through the four channels to do a search on all the unknowns, all the pieces of impurity or whatever. And what else was I going to say? The way we'll be allocating this is the same as before. It's going to be on the same. We're allocating the same page, just further down, scroll down, you see the files. And yeah, I've already allocated some things to be checked. So if you run out of work, go ahead and start checking, because this is something that's considerably bottlenecked.
Right. So is this the priority then?
Yeah, I'd say for now, we don't even have much new stuff to be gone over for a first pass, so it's important that we do the second pass. And I've indicated in a column whether something is priority, like a high priority. So those would be the ones you focus on first, obviously. And then it comes. You don't want to change the file name anyway. Just keep it the same. There's going to be a checking in procedure. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this before, but you'll know about this with the CBS sort
of.
Yeah. So
I don't know about. I know about this for the summarization. I haven't done this.
Right. But it's similar. But they're creating a guy Jonathan is creating a web form.
Mm-hmm.
For you to do this all very
yeah.
simply, just upload everything that you've upload the file that you've transcribed,
oh, right.
And you'll be noting whether it's the first pass or the second pass, and your name as the person who did that particular pass. And that will happen soon. I'll let you know.
So do we just open the file as we open the files from the first pass?
Yeah. You'll have to. I would suggest creating a folder. Files to be checked or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then within that, create subfolders for the given VM. And you'll have to get all the sound files, unfortunately, for the NMM server on your own. Because the AMI server's not very reliable for getting these sound files uncorrupted. So you'll have to get all the sound files from the MMM server, and the person's transcription file should be in that folder where you're putting those.
Okay.
And then you'll just, you'll copy that over. You don't move it over, because you might have multiple versions of these things. But yeah, copy it into your directory and keep the same name. And then when you check it in, it will automatically be registered, even though the first pass was checked in when we're doing this checking in business. It will know which pass it is, but I think it will also be indicating that as well.
Slightly connected question.
Uh-huh.
Originally, when we first applied, say yes, we actually did it. It said 6 weeks, and the contracts say 8th of May, which is longer in advance than, which is a greater amount of time than 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's actually 6. Is it 3 months?
I've got a 3 month contract.
Yeah. They're 3 month contracts, and now if you can't keep that, that's fine. But
okay.
It's just a logistic thing with personnel,
right.
Where we have that's the minimum.
Okay,
so So if you have to, let us know as soon as you know when
it gets into the holidays and
obviously those kinds of things, things we'll have to work around. But it's just.
Just checking.
Once we actually get into the Easter holidays, because we're having lectures at the moment, can we be more flexible with our hours if we want to switch?
I should think so. I mean, the whole point of keeping, as long as you're able to work out use of your computer and the other person, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
The whole point of regular hours was to make sure that somebody was here to answer questions.
Sure.
Can you start, please?
Yes.
So you should be able to get in during odd hours if you want to.
And if you can plug microphones into Apple and Tower computers, I can do it.
Yeah. I don't see why not. There's some issue.
Do you? To give me sort of our issues. I think you'll all be paid.
I'm having to sort some tax stuff out before I can send my stuff in, because I'm going to make sure I'm sending in the right form.
Okay.
But they wanted to know what examining board I got my A levels in.
Really?
Yeah, for human resources. I thought, surely you don't need that information. It's about to take me half an hour. Well, it did when I was like just going through the forms and filling in all the details. I thought, I'm not going to spend a couple of hours getting photocopies and degree certificates to give you for your files if I was going to be here. At one place it said give us copies of degrees. Oh, maybe I'm getting mixed up with something else, but it wanted a A-level examining board, which seemed a bit ridiculous.
If you have any problems with that, see Carolyn Hastings. I mean, if it's for this job and getting paid, that's not necessary. Carolyn Hastings, I'm going to. But also, if pay is a matter, as long as they haven't gotten paid, I hope that's not.
I haven't gotten paid for the first 2 weeks because I only have a 3 month contract starting February, then I started mid January.
Talk to Karen.
Yeah.
Because I really don't know why that would be. I'm here full time now, so I'll be here Monday through Friday. And I live at 4 now, so you won't find me anytime.
But is your husband now a stay-at-home dad?
Yeah.
Oh, so it is your baby then.
Yeah.
One assumes this.
How old?
He's 4.5 months.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the question I was just going to ask. Only as of Friday, actually.
Wow.
I was telling Melissa this. Do you want us to stop?
Do you think you're done?
Yeah.
The tapes are about to run out.
Yeah. I was telling Melissa that.
We have to keep our bed for the
Oh, to say that you've.